Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer.
Not true.
I am Augie Carton. Thank you for joining us, all you thieves at home. Hall is in Alaska hunting bear.
Is that what he's doing there?
No, that's not what he's doing. Come on.
He's sitting on a porch looking at a lake.
He's like, look at that bear.
Building a pipeline.
Yeah. Get closer. In the Hall seat is Mr. Aaron Goldfarb. How you doing, sir?
I was available.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's nice of you to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Keep me from going down the geeky rabbit hole. And our accomplice today is Mike Fava of Oxbow.
How's it going?
Thank you for joining us, sir. All right, so let's first of all get the John Hall truth out there. It is nothing at all like 5 o'clock on Monday.
Nope.
It is 11:47 on a Saturday morning. And we are in the lovely town of...
I don't know what town we're in.
Elmsford, I believe.
Elmsford, New York. Yeah. We are sitting in the tasting room at Captain Lawrence Brewery. And Mike and I are here for the Captain Lawrence Soured in September Fest. Right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me tell you. I know a couple million things about Oxbow because... Brian Cass on the Ones and Twos did an I Drink Good Beer picture piece on it, so I got to look at it. He kind of filled me in. But why don't you tell us about your place first, because it's kind of awesome. It's a proper, like, 18-acre farm in Maine.
Oh, yeah. We're out in the middle of the woods, 18 acres, most of which are wooded trails. But we have a barn, an orchard, nice pond for swimming or playing hockey.
Eating or distilling apples?
Eating.
Right,
but mostly stone fruit for
okay.
Beer.
Okay, right on. Yeah, Maine, I actually lived in Maine for a year. I was a bad kid, so I got to go to a place called the Hyde School in Bath.
Nice.
Shout out to Joe Gold.
Shout out to Joe Gold.
You're one of those?
Yeah, I have a unique potential just like everybody else. yeah, so I was one of those kids. I'd fly through Portland, and I managed to get my act straight enough that I got to come home after a year. But... what I didn't know from that end of Maine is the amount of farming that's up there. There's a lot of farming in Maine, right?
Yeah.
Like broccoli farming and all kinds of weird vegetables. Because in my mind, it's just this place with a ton of snow. But it really is a proper farmable state.
Totally. It's a big agriculture industry for sure.
Right. So you brew there. Tell me about your system. How big is it? What does it do?
We're in a very tiny system. We're in a barn that is only 800 square feet.
Okay.
We did raise the roof up, so we were able to get some larger size tanks. But our brew system is 7 barrels.
Okay. Yeah, so decent-sized. Decent-sized.
Yep.
That's cool. And you bottle. You don't can yet? Do you want a can?
No cans right now. We only bottle, for the most part, our wild and barrel-aged beers,
right,
stuff that has a really nice shelf life.
So Brian, you were just up there because you're a geek. It had nothing to do with canning. Right on. That makes total sense. Good for you. So let's see what else. There's actually, you said there's a house on the property that you can stay in?
That's
right.
Yeah, there's a small farmhouse there, a three-bedroom.
This one's a little tart.
And we used to stay there as a crash pad for the brewers, but we've since opened it up to the public, and we have it on Airbnb, and we have great groups come through.
How many people can fit in it?
We list it as sleeping 9.
Oh, right on. So,
yeah,
like, perfect for a bachelor party weekend.
And we get a lot of that.
Yeah, that makes total sense, right? Nine guys at a brewery, you don't have to drive anywhere.
I could
see that being the right way to settle into marriage.
It's responsible.
Right on. I get that. Well, thanks for joining us. Tell me about, so I'm guessing if you were to drive this, it'd be about 8 hours?
No, that's a lot of people think that. With traffic on a Friday, I got in yesterday, it took me 5.5 hours.
That's not bad at all.
Oh, that's great.
All right, so this is good. I the reason I went down that path and I kind of wanted it to be longer was to talk about kind of the festival thing and what actually brought us here, because I don't do a ton of festivals, but I love this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine coming from Maine to New York is enough of a commitment that I was wondering, you know, what do you think is charming about this and what brought you besides Scott being a cool dude?
Well, that's definitely my number one answer would be Scotty V. I've known him for a long time and love his beers, obviously. And this festival's been on the radar, and we've recently opened distribution in New York.
So congratulations.
Makes it a little easier.
Very cool. Who's bringing you in?
Union.
Okay, right on. They handle us in the city.
Awesome.
All right, cool. You liking them? You liking being down here?
Yeah, love them. They're doing a phenomenal job, actually. Way more. They're exceeding expectations in every way. And being in New York City and in the surrounding areas is really amazing.
All right, Lefkowitz, write me a check for that their promotion I just gave you for nothing, you dirty, dirty bastard. You and I have very different approaches. As much as I love Lefkowitz, I think they're good at the job. If he was standing here, I'd tell him he's the worst and he's not trying anywhere near hard enough. But yeah, they are pretty great. That's awesome. I'm glad you found a comfortable place down here. So what beers have you sent in? If you were drinking in New York City, what Oxbows could you find if you were on the look?
We definitely open up the portfolio for New York. There's so many amazing beer bars. But really, with all the beers we make, there's only one we do year-round, and that's our Farmhouse Pale Ale, okay. FPA. So that's definitely the bulk of what we send down. But aside from there, we have a lot of seasonals and then a lot of bottled products that come from our barrel program, so
right
quite
on.
A mix.
Right on. So, how often do you bottle? Once a week? Once a month? Barrels is, you can let that stack up a while before you have to get to put in a bottles, right?
Yeah, and we right now generally we're about 90% draft. And we're only bottling, again, our wild and barrel.
And you're right outside Portland, right? So you're right outside that scene that is kind of Maine's beer scene currently, right? That's your neighborhood?
The brewery is 1 hour north up the coast from Portland, but we also have a warehouse and barrel room and tasting room in Portland.
Oh, perfect. That's why that makes sense to me. Brewery looks cool, man. And so if you go to idrinkgoodbeer.com, there's not a lot of writing on the brewery, but there's a lot of cool pictures. So check them out, because there's some. Have you seen his thing? There's some nice footage of you guys up there. You're the worst.
I'm not sure if I saw it, to be honest. So
I'll show it to you after the show. It's pretty cool. All right, so what brings us together for Steal This Beer is a candid discussion of beer and what it is and not what it should be or shouldn't be. The way we do that is we drink blind. Right now, Aaron and I are blind in this beer. Justin, you poured it, so you know what it is?
That's right.
Right on. It's in a black glass. We can't even see color. We are tasting. And we've definitely got a sour. There's some acetic to it. I'm wondering what you think. I'm a guy who... So I like acetic and sours. I like beers that push up against being vinegar and give you some real taut sourness to it. This is there. There's a neat kind of... You know when they talk about... getting almond flavor from peach pits or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like I taste peach pit and not almond.
Like that.
You know what I mean? Like apricot maybe. Kernel or whatever you would say. Like I've got that kind of tannic astringency to it. Like there's some stones from stone fruit in the palate. But so like I said, I would expect certain people to react to the sourness level of this. But it's exactly where I like things to be, where it's pushing right to that point where you might use this to lighten a dish. You know what I mean?
Totally.
What about you, Ayers? Is this good for you sour? Is this too sour? Is it
no,
a different
I like
kind of sour?
It. You know, it has kind of that Rodenbach acidity.
Okay.
I don't think there's fruit in it, but there is that fruity.
Yeah, I don't get any of the fruit. But like I said, there's some kind of like dry kernel, nutty. You know, that kind of thing.
I presume it's barrel aged. I don't get a lot of barrel though off of it.
Huh.
And I don't find any allergens.
Oh, it's allergen free?
Allergen
free. That's a callback to our last episode. A thief sent us a letter about allergens. I'm sure there are people allergic to stone fruits. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
And I bet you there's some what's it called? What's the thing in wheat? Gluten. I bet you there's some gluten in it. So that's an allergen.
Don't think it's a gluten-free sour.
No, I don't think this is a gluten-free sour. I've had a gluten-free sour, and boy, is that a thin thing to try to accomplish.
Was it just an infected?
No. It was intentional. I think it's neat. I'd put this. This is a table beer, right? This is a food beer. It's got real acidity driving it. It wants something light in flavor but rich in texture. So I'm thinking of like an olive oil poached salmon or something. You know, I don't think this handles big flavors. No Maillard, no roast, but something with some real pretty creaminess to it, the acidity would play off nicely.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you agree for once. No, Augie, you pour this on somebody at the end of a NASCAR race. What are you going to do with it, Goldfarb? Where are you partying with this beer?
Geez, I don't know. I am at a lot of NASCAR races.
Are you? Is NASCAR your thing?
Yeah, Jews love NASCAR. I don't know. I agree with you. Yeah, it needs a light dish. It does have that acidity, but heavy roast would certainly cover it up.
Yeah, but so would you bring this to a sour party? Say a whole bunch of throat beards invited you over. Would you
something like we're at today? Is that what you're saying?
Something like this? Would this fit in this room? I feel like it's a little delicate for this room. Yeah. I feel like if this wasn't top of the line, this would get run over by some of the things we're going to drink today, right? See, the thing is, it's so decidedly sour that it's not delicate, but the things around its sourness are delicate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the geeks might not care if there were 30 other beers.
Yeah,
it'll probably be some major well.
But well, yeah, it's probably going to be say it's Kenty Goosey Tree.
Don Quixote.
All right. Well, I think we wrote our sentence and talked about what it is. What do you think? Did we do all right? Did you taste anything we didn't taste?
No, it's a little too sour for my palate. I've had this beer a few times before. I always enjoy it, but I don't know exactly what it's trying to do.
Well, that's the thing about acetic and sours, right? Because if you don't want your beer, if you're not okay with, like, if you wouldn't, all right. So my children, there's a thing I do, Mike, at the end. So tomato season in Jersey is very important, right? So you slice your tomatoes, you salt them, you olive oil them. There's a thing, and for my kids, my little 8 and 9 year old kids, I'll take all of the olive oil and tomato water and salt from the plate, pour it into a small juice cup, put an equal amount of red wine vinegar into it, and give it to them as a shot. So this is how my family, it's fantastic, but this is how my family comes to sour. So this is barely sour on that scale. You know what I mean? But if you're not a person that's committed to that kind of thing, what about you? You brought it. Tell us what it is and tell us what you think it did, what it's supposed to and what it is.
I brought it, A, because of
Sour Day.
Sour Day. I agree with you. The delicateness is amazing, and that's one of the reasons I brought it and wanted it to be my first beer of the day.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, definitely see it, lunchtime or as an aperitif.
Right on. So what is it? Come on, reveal.
Cool Ship
from
Allagash.
Cool Ship Resurgam.
Wait.
Resurgam is a blend of...
I thought you said Resurgam. I was like, wait, it's fucking gluten-free?
Oh, no.
Resurgam.
That has no fruit in it either.
No fruit at all?
Yeah.
So that all that thing is from the wood.
That's awesome.
And the spontaneous fermentation.
Is that this year's too? Or
no, this is a vintage
2014, I think.
And if you really think about it, this is a 3-year blend, and then it sits in a bottle for a year. So even before 2014.
So it's about 8 years old.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Some beer in there is 8 years old. That's a blend of 1, 2, and 3 year old.
So they're doing it right. That's a properly put together lambic leaning on young goose. Style.
Totally.
I know we're not over there. That's a very cool beer. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, and you're right. What I should have said was this is the right time of day to drink this beer, right? Like make that thing I wanted to put it with like eggs and hollandaise, and it'd be perfect for that, right?
Totally.
Make it a brunch beer, and it's ideal.
And you touched on that with...
Yeah. Now that makes total sense. Cool. Thanks for bringing it, man. So tell us about Allagash. Are they really the granddaddies of everything up there?
Absolutely.
There's Allagash, and then there's all other Maine beer.
100%.
Yeah.
They definitely paved the way in Maine, but I think throughout the country as well, they're certainly a driving force in the sour movement. They definitely look back to tradition and don't step on anyone's toes, don't call anyone out, and they follow those traditional methods, especially brewing spontaneous beer.
And that's definitely what you're doing at Oxbow, right? That you think?
Sure, we're hugely inspired by Allagash.
Yeah, I think we all are. I think if you're, you can't not be if you love beer. But so tell me more about Oxbow's sour program. Do you have... How long have you guys been in existence? That's an important
question. Just over 5 years.
So do you have 3-year-old booze around you could blend with? Or are you trying to get to that point, or is that not what you like to do?
We definitely have barrels that have been around for a very long time. In fact, our first beer we ever brewed was a barrel fermented beer.
Oh, cool.
Called Arboreal.
Cool. Oh, cool.
So.
And what barrel is it? What kind of barrel and what kind of beer was it? And is it still that, or has 5 years taken the sting out of the barrel? It's just neutral wood at this point.
We definitely reuse barrels quite a bit and get down to neutral, but we also are quick to retire something to bring in new oak as well. We get a lot of our barrels from Allagash, in fact.
Cool.
Secondhand.
Yeah.
They do Curio and lots of it. Triple aged in bourbon barrels, and it does a nice job of, that triple takes a nice job of taking all the spirit out of the oak, because we're not necessarily looking for that, but a little nuance here and there, especially with American oak, you get some nice vanilla.
Yeah, there's definitely, that tannic level I was ascribing to a peach pit clearly came from their wood, so they've clearly got some really dynamite wood in that program. I think it'd be fun to catch a second generation barrel of that.
Yeah, and I think that's the tough part. They hold on to their
sour, to their really good ones.
Yeah.
Bastards.
And especially for their spontaneous stuff, they really like using double size barrels, punching size barrels.
Do you have a preference? Would you rather be bigger? I mean, seven barrels. How so? A seven barrel brew would fill how many 55? You know, how many wine barrels would that fill?
Wine barrels, we get about four in a little bit.
Okay.
Bigger would be nice, but I think we double batch every day. So.
So now, tell me about the farm. It's 18 acres. You're in an 800 foot farmhouse, and you have a barrel storage in town. We've touched on all that. Couldn't you just build a shed and just keep filling it with wood all day for the rest of your life?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're going to do?
Options in the future are certainly there, and having a facility closer to the brew house would obviously have its benefits.
Yeah, if you could forklift it, it's much better than trucking it.
But being in such a small barn where we're brewing, we had barrels everywhere, and it just became apparent we had a need to have a home for them. And when we set out looking,
And it's got to be good for business to be in the city with some stuff, right?
Exactly.
Not everybody's going to drive all the way out to a farm.
It's certainly beneficial, but we also self-distribute in Maine.
Okay,
the majority
cool.
of our beer is sold in Portland, so we were just driving our van down a few times a week and making deliveries. So when we're looking for a warehouse, we're looking anywhere between Newcastle and Portland, and we just found this amazing warehouse right in the heart of, really in the center of Portland, and it was like, yes, this is...
Perfect
place. That's absolutely perfect.
Right on. Do you do anything hoppy, or you don't? You know, I mean, you said your number one beer, the only one you ever beer, is pale, and I assume it's hoppy. But are you? You know, we've across the catalog of Oxbow, is it mostly sour?
I wouldn't say mostly sour. It's mostly super dry saison based beers.
I love saison.
Our house yeast is a saison yeast, and it loves drying everything out.
Yeah.
So we definitely stay within the parameters of what would be the farmhouse umbrella.
Right. I was actually told by a thief a long time ago that the only question I ask that they like is what your favorite hop is. So I'll do that again. What is your favorite
lame
hop?
Lame question.
What?
That's a lame question.
But remember, somebody
I
think I asked Chief on the first episode, what's your favorite hop right now? And that was like the first positive thing we got. Was like, that was great. So I keep forgetting to do it, but I just remembered when we were talking about it. So tell me, what's your favorite hop these days?
Oh, man. I've been really in love with German Hirschbrucker.
Yeah?
Yep.
Right on.
Ooh,
That's so classic. I like that. You seem so young to have such a traditional choice.
Yeah.
That's good for you.
I appreciate
you
thinking that. I'm young.
I'm an old man. Everybody knows that. Augie Carton's too old for this. Yeah. So beer two has landed.
Boy, has
it's
it.
It's another sour.
It's an interesting one.
There's some sulfur going on in there.
I get a ton of pickle.
Yeah. But there's some sulfur going on in there. This is a rough lacto ferment, I'm guessing. There's also some greenness to it, like a charred broccoli kind of greenness to it.
John Hall is the one that's supposed to say that, but since he's not here.
I didn't say vegetal. I said okay. I said greenness. I'm sipping on it to move away from the other and into this and what it is. But there's a neat kind of a little touch of a malt sweetness, kind of tying everything together. And then there's these little pokes around it of, like I said, like there's something in there that feels like the black char of a nicely roasted broccoli, and then there's that sulfur in the aroma. On the palate, it's very smooth and very, it just sits there very kind of cleanly and nicely, and it's got some richness to it. It's another food beer, though, right? This one wants something a little more, I don't know, a little more roasty. But what are you thinking? Gulfarb, you're making horrible faces. You hate it?
No, I actually like it. It can't stop reminding me of like a cucumber salad, a summer cucumber salad. Or
in its flavors or what you want with it?
In its flavors.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm struggling to even
pair it. I like that. I'm looking for that. I'm not getting that. Hold on. Give me a minute with it. You think that's just because it's vinegary and that's how you dress your cucumbers?
Maybe, but I am getting like my green note is a cucumber note, and all then right. I'm dancing between like a half sour pickle note.
Yeah, I get that. That I definitely get. Now, Mike, do you have a predilection for acetic? We didn't talk about your feelings because we were blindly tasting, but you've got two beers that definitely have decided acidity to them. Is that your thing?
I definitely like acid. I like complex acidities. I don't want straight Flemish lactic tartness and over that line of vinegar. I think you touched on this line that you get right up to. Which I think is really intriguing and certainly makes for a really refreshing beverage.
Yeah, both of these beers are I'm no longer thirsty beers, right? Like
totally.
which is an important thing for a beer to do sometimes.
Yeah.
There's an approach avoidance to it though. There's like that fun thing of a dirty ferment where I keep thinking, wait, maybe there's something I don't like, and then it goes away again, and that kind of malty redness washes it clean. But I keep going right up to an edge where I'm like, wait, do I like that or not? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something.
Do you think this beer is intentional, or there's?
Oh no, this is. I think they're very proud of this beer, and I think they should be. But what I'm saying is, there's some flavors in there that keep walking up to a point where I'm like, is that burnt green thing? Like, if the burnt green thing kept going, it would be too much, and I'd be like, eh. But it stops right short of being like,
it kind of drops off and then you take another sip.
Right in time. And then you sip again and you get all the acidity again and then it's all a linger.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I'm talking about is a finish note. And then it goes away right when I'm like, wait, where's it going? I think it's a cool beer. Well organized for sure.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool too.
The sulfur thing's the only thing I would that I wonder if I drank too much of this, would it get to be too much?
Is that on the nose, or where are you picking up the...
Yeah, both.
I was initially in the nose and on the palate. Off. I think it's blowing off a bit now that it's been poured.
Yeah, as it will, as it should. But you know what I mean? Like, it's still sitting on my tongue a little. And that would be the only thing I was worried. If I was going to drink a 750 of this, I'd be worried that in the bottom third of that would get heavy on me.
Would you put it in your kids' sippy cups?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. My kids are pretty tough. They can handle some booze. It's pretty. So I'm going to bring this to a sour party. This is going to do fine in a group of sours. Where that other one was a little delicate, and I'm afraid if it didn't come first, it wouldn't be appreciated. This one you can throw in the middle, and I think it'll wash out some big red ugly sours, and it'll dress up some simple Berliners. Does that make sense?
Yeah, nice reset button.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
I think it's got enough of a stride that it'll fit in and it won't get run over, but it also isn't going to show off too much. If we're in a basement playing Dungeons and Dragons and we picked sour for this night's theme, this would be a fine one to bring. What about you, Gulfarb? Where are you doing this?
In the Dungeons and Dragons theme.
You don't have to do Dungeons and Dragons. All you can be a card game guy. Maybe you go to a Pokemon party.
Or maybe Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering. Are you a Magic the Gathering guy?
No, I'm not really into cards.
Stop. Anyway, go on. Write your sentence. Where are you bringing this beer?
No, I agree with you. I think it would actually stand out at a whale share.
Yeah.
Look cool in the kill shot. Hashtag. It's interesting. It doesn't taste like the standard a lot of people are going for. I'll bring it to my next whale party.
Right on. So, what did Justin? You got any? How did we do?
You guys did well. I don't know much about this beer or the brewery. It's from Forest in Maine, outside of Philadelphia.
I've liked what I've had.
And we've had
them.
Some interaction with those guys on the Twitters.
Have we?
As a show, yeah.
Oh, so that's you. For those of you, for the thieves at home wondering, Augie Carton is not your Twitter voice unless Well, I think you know when it's me.
Yeah, you know. But this is
the non-Augie voice. That's Justin.
This is a Palomina, which is, I think, a barrel-aged Saison.
Right on. Mike, they call that a Saison? Now, that's crazy. That's not a Saison. You know what I mean.
There's a broad interpretation, but I think the really cool thing about this beer and why I brought it and wanted to pour it against or alongside the Resurgam is the yeast for this beer, they isolated and cultivated and grew up off of their property at their brewery.
So it's an ad hoc. Cool.
So instead of using a cool ship where, you know, traditional lambic might be produced, this was spontaneous yeast that was slowly grown up from small batches to bigger.
And they're like in a house somewhere?
Are they in a rural area?
They're in, no, they're in a classic suburb just outside Philadelphia, and they're in a very small and quaint Victorian home with this add-on shelf or shed to the back, basically. When you're in the brewery, it's almost like you're in a heavy metal drummer because you're in the middle and you just turn around and all the equipment's just
So it's Neil Peart just, wait, I'm going electric right now. Wait, I'm back on the toms.
Yeah.
So all the brewers, all our friends are filing in. It's fun. But so you must know Evan from Plan B. That sounds very Plan B in style.
I do not know Evan.
You don't? You're going to meet him today. He'll be here.
I've had the beers, and I look forward to drinking more.
Yeah, so let's get back to the fest. What are you most excited about an entirely sour fest at Scott Vaccaro's backyard and all of us here? Like, every brewer comes to this. That's why it's one of my favorite fests, is the brewers themselves actually come.
I think that it's just that.
Is it just because Scott's so cool?
Because Scott's so cool, but I think there's a snowball effect. It's like, Scott's so cool, so, you know, I'm going to go as brewer, mm-hmm. and then your friend, and it ends up being a party with your friends.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I get in a lot of trouble at this event. Totally. I really do. I would never drive home from this event.
Nope. Nope. Uber is your friend.
Justin, is this your first? This is the third year. Were you here last year?
No, this is my first.
All right, right on. Yeah, it's good. So there's that part of brewing that brings out different people, but I feel like the subset of geeks that like sours are fun people to drink with on a sunny day in a tent in Scott's backyard. So I think that's cool. Aaron, you haven't been in this one either?
No, this is my first.
Right on. I think everybody's going to have a good time.
So what's the scene here? Is it all geek or there?
Oh, it's all the real geeks. It's the really committed, but it's sour geeks, right? It's not IPA geeks. It's not guys who just figured out that they like flavors and are learning. It's guys that have gone so far down the ugly road that, hey, look, a case of boat just walked in. Happy days.
Yeah.
Are they cold? Can I have one of those? All right. I will pass out some boats then. So my brewers are here now, in case you didn't figure that out. give him one. I just think this is such a neat event. Thieves, you should figure out a way to get here next year. It's the best beer in the world. It is the best beer in the world. But thank you.
Augie makes this beer, Mike, in case you
want. I'm familiar with this beer.
Are you pouring it today just to...
No, you don't bring boat to this party. I just bring cans for me because it's I taste everything better next to boat. Boat's my kind of my flat flavor quality.
It's your rinse water?
Yeah, it's perfect. Anyway, that's such a happy day. But what other fests you do? If you're a thief at home, if you're listening to this, I'm telling you, find a way to get here. And the best part is it's not even worth a pilgrimage, because something about the approach and everybody is, none of us take it too seriously either. It's just a fun time, and that's why I think you should come. But what other fests? Like, say somebody who's coming to Maine, is there some event up there you really enjoy? Because I don't tend to like brew fests. I really don't like them. So
yeah, we have a really amazing guild that has come on really strong in the last few years and has brought a lot of positive change. But the biggest thing that they have done, in my opinion, is they've set a written out guideline for what a festival should be and what you should strive for.
Oh, cool. What do you think? What are some of the high points of that?
A big point is paying for the beer, and I feel like that's a big motivator in getting certain breweries to participate.
We won't do a fest with table fees.
Yep.
And that doesn't buy beer.
Same.
Okay.
And the exposure. Oh, yeah. Is not worth, in my opinion. But
do you have trouble selling Oxbow beer?
Nope.
then why would you want exposure?
Exactly.
Anyway,
for people like me and listeners at home, and you don't have to name names, what percentage of beer festivals are expecting free beer?
Well, see, the thing is, nowadays, because there's actually rules on giving beer away.
It's state by state.
Yeah, but there's the thing that the table fees, like, so I know that there's people that have trouble selling their beer, but a table fee is basically when you're going to set up a store. You know what I mean? Like say you're a potter, or say you're
an arts and crafts
and,
fair.
Yeah, and you're going to one of those things.
Baseball.
And basically what they're giving you is a place to retail your product, so you pay a fee for the right to retail your product. Well,
most of those places don't have entry fees.
But no, they all do. They have table fees. Those guys will charge you some amount to walk in, but you're still selling your product. Beer has so many rules and regulations that Mike and I couldn't charge you $5 for a beer at a fest, right? But somehow the big distributors, who basically all beer fests in the 80s and 90s started as big distributors trying to get out of old stock. And they would charge you a fee, and everybody did the math on, well, I can drink 30 beers for $25. It's a good deal. And then they approach guys like Mike and me and say, well, it's good exposure for your brand. And it's just ridiculous because it's like, Mike, you can sell every keg you make, right?
Sure.
So can I. So why would I give a keg away? And then there's that problem of they approach it as, well, you're buying the branding. No, you're not. You're basically making them extra money. And if it's going to be a deal, it should be a deal. But then there's ones like this that, like, thank you. Scott does buy beer, and I brought an extra keg because I like it and it's fun and that's cool, right? Yeah, so totally. So it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not. Well, go on, explain.
I think
people know what
the,
I think.
The more old school beer fest model, I think, besides the disguising exposure for free beer. I think the worst part about it is just this open-ended ticket sales where you're trying to get pack the house, where I feel like a responsible festival organizer is going to have a limit and base everything on that limit, how much volume of beer you need, for instance, how many tables, how many porta-potties, like the whole nine. You can plan on a certain number, where the old-school method is just as many as we can possibly sell, just sell them all. Right. And who cares if there's lines and people can't go to the bathroom or beer runs out.
And when you get to a good one, the community exists, right? You're not mad at a guy for walking up to your table and saying, what's your strongest? It's a good group of people. It's manageable, like you said. And then we get to hang out. We get to meet some cool guys that like beer. And you get to have conversations. Whereas if you're in one of those, it's the biggest in the nation. They're just terrible. But anyway, that's me. Clearly, I'm too opinionated.
The second you see a pretzel necklace, do you leave?
I don't mind pretzel necklaces.
You don't mind them?
I've got a rule. I think you and I have talked about this, but I've got a number, and it's a floating number. It's A versus B, but it's what's your strongest versus what's your favorite? And if I get asked what's your strongest five more times than I get asked what's your favorite, I won't come back to your fest.
Okay.
That's my rule.
So for a fest like this, does a guy like Scott curate who he wants to come? Or do you guys go, I'd like to come to this? How are festivals built?
I mean, this one for me, I think, I've known Scotty for a decade and love him dearly. And it was more like, I knew this was happening. I wanted to be part of it in any way that I could, whether it's an attendee or pouring beer. And it's taken me 3 years to get here, but luckily we're pouring beer today and certainly be circulating around as much as possible as well. I guess for this one, we really seeked it out. As soon as we had distribution in New York, I was like, oh, that means we can easily pour it.
Mm. Yeah. We talked about it on the Scott Vaccaro show, but Scott is one of the people I call when I'm having trouble. You know what I mean? Kelly at Kelso, Sam at Other Half's always been real good to us. But when we get confused, we have this list of calls we make, and Scott's one of the first calls. So I think when he first conceived this, we might have been talking about, Scott, I'm having trouble with a stuck ferment, or you know what I mean, or Scott, I need to borrow some hops from you. Like Scott's been so good to Carton that I think we were just on his mind. But we were invited to the first one. We've done them all. It's easy for us, and really, it's not even a question. We just assume we're going to be here.
And do you guys have goals when you go to a beer festival, or is it just to have fun? Are you trying to win?
I just want to have fun. Okay. What about you?
I
just want to see
fans
cool people
in the New York area, or is it just fun?
I think for me, it's a little, maybe I shouldn't say this on air, but a little less marketing and more selfish, where I get to talk with my friends.
You get to go to a beer festival and drink cool beer.
Yeah, totally.
That's exactly it. Augie Carton won't be at the Carton table at all today. There's Carton Brewing employees pouring Carton Brewing beer. And I'm going to be behind Mike's table and behind Evan's table. And you know,
you just
think
of yourself as a drinker today.
I'm here as a drunk. That's, I mean, but you've seen me at EBF. I'm here to go try other people's flavors, right?
Of like, course, you're going to check your untapped check-ins after the show.
I might blitz this shit. Yeah, man. I might rack up some points. I just hit elite 2,500 unique beers, so I got to drink like 7,000 more to get another badge. That's important stuff, Aaron.
I don't mean Augie Carton's check-ins. Oh. I know Monday morning you're taking the boat to work. You're going to check what people are checking
toast everybody.
In here and seeing how your beers did.
Yeah, but you know us. We always bring something that doesn't fit in. Like, we desperately try to bring the thing that, like we brought our salted cherry blossom rice sour here today, which
I'm
is the most
to
delicate.
I'm excited to give that a one on untapped today.
The most delicate, most delicate. Evan, what's up, dude? Most delicate flavor in the world, and
it's gonna get punished by every other beer.
Yeah, it's gonna get run over, and everybody's gonna be like, I don't even taste anything. And I'm like, yay, I love you, you're a genius. But that's fine, man. That's what it's all about. We know what we're doing. We could have brought a different beer. We knew what we were doing. Well, it's letter time.
Yeah, we got
Justin's ready to read a letter.
I've been itching to read this.
You got one? You got
you
a good letter?
Already answered it.
Is
I
it Jake?
God damn it! Okay. Did we run ahead of the letter again?
Tim Watson.
Consecration is the answer.
A perfect letter. All right, he says, hey, guys, I've been...
Wait, what's his name?
Timothy Watson.
Hey, Timothy Watson. Thanks for writing in.
He's got a really funny avatar here, too. I've been listening to the podcast for most of this year and have learned that Augie doesn't like going to most beer festivals. That made me excited to see that Carton will be at the Kennett Brew Fest. Is this true?
The brewery will be there through our Pennsylvania distributor.
Okay, I don't know what the Kennett Brew Fest is.
There's a big difference between what...
Is this a
like distributors do things with your beer, and I'm a don't put your chopsticks in my rice bowl kind of guy. When I sell beer to a distributor, I mean, I have things I want them to do, and we talk about that when we meet, but I really don't try to manage it. So that means my distributor, Bella Vista in Philly, thinks this is an important fest, and maybe Kennett asked for us or whatever, but they will handle that. I that's not me.
Okay. It
is a great beer festival.
It is. Okay, cool. I'm not familiar with it.
Cool. Do you go?
I used to when I lived in Philly.
Oh, right on.
Every year. Yeah. I think they're one of the early ones to have a VIP session, and it's been going on for quite a while, and it's in beautiful Kennett Square. So it's,
well, then great. I'll say I'm honored to be there.
Yep, you should be.
Is that in Philly, or what is Kennett Brew Fest?
Kennett Square is it's about 40 minutes outside of...
Okay. Cool. So, Tim, I worked in that town for years, never made it to that fest. Now I can finally make it, so I'll stop by and say hi. But you can't say hi because you're not going
to
be there.
Well, right? No, but if my distributor calls and says this is really important, we need you to be there, I will do my best to be there. It's not, like I said, if it's a good fest, I want to be there. The problem is, as a rule, I've been to more bad fests than good fests.
Yeah. So my question is, when you come to Beer Fest, do you ever send beer to that area, or is that a distribution thing? Do you ever send
So Carton Brewing, and this is fun because Oxbow's just coming to New York, so you're going to have a more interesting answer than us, but I will answer simply. Carton shouldn't be outside New Jersey, but my ambition is to make it simple for people to get our shit. So we basically try to spread it around New Jersey, and the major city where Carton is Red Bank. You know what I mean? And Red Bank, New Jersey is exactly 50 minutes from New York City and exactly an hour from Philly. So when I think of our community, I think of those two cities and us being the line between. So I didn't think you were fairly represented in our community without being in both of those places. That being said, we don't make enough beer to supply either of those cities, so we have very good relationships with very small distributors. We give them an amount of beer, they spread it around, I get feedback from those communities, I get informed on what I need to be doing differently, and that's that relationship for us. Now, Oxbow is on a farm up in Maine, not in the middle of a pretty densely populated state. So how do you guys make those choices?
It's definitely a tough thing. I think starting off, we went with our personal relationships. Our first out-of-state market was Washington, D.C., of which our owner and founder, Tim, lived for 3 years. He had a lot of really good relationships. But also the cool thing about D.C. is you can fill up a van in the woods of Maine with beer and drive it down and sell it door to door.
Yeah.
Completely legally, right?
Completely legally.
Well, yeah, so it's state by state, and D.C. is not a state, so they don't have any laws. Exactly. It's literally the Wild West out
there. some laws, but they're very easy.
Barely any.
Yeah. A small filing fee.
But there's something exhilarating about filling up a van of beer and it not being pre-sold and having to go around the bars and be like, hey, we have...
That's awesome.
We have these kegs.
I want to do that with you. Stop in Jersey on your way south. I want to go door to door with you. That'll be fun. I'll bring a case of boat. We'll get one boat can away with every keg of Oxbow. That'll be fun. That's awesome. So is it really that's how it is? You just so what's the bar I love down there? Church Key. So you start at Church Key. You're like, hey, how many do you want? And then you work your way in like a circle out from there.
Yep.
Totally. Right on. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I might have to do that.
You should.
One more part to this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What's with all these multi-part questions?
It's a P.S.
Okay.
P.S. It's a really good one. Postscript.
Okay, so Tim says, when I really want to get trashed, I play the Steal This Beer game and take a drink every time Augie says, right on.
Right on. right on.
That's a good
right
one.
On.
That might be the best one so far.
Is that not in the rules?
No.
I say right on a lot. When I listen to the show, I notice how much I say right on, and I don't feel like I do it. Like I'm like a 9-year-old that just learned the word awesome.
Yeah.
But
that's a good one, Tim.
So thieves.
Right on.
So right now the question I've asked the thieves that I need you guys to write in about is what episode of the 70 or 80 we've done so far do you think
75.
Represents what we do well? So when people ask, I can say listen to this episode, because I need an answer to that and I don't know. But I also want to know, what else can you say? What's an affirmative, positive thing that isn't right on? What can I pepper in here so I stop doing that? Because I think he's right. I say it too much.
You say it a lot. It doesn't bother me.
It bothers me, though. I hate to be
redundant. It's kind of like your poor man's McConaughey. So.
Well, right today, because it's so early in the morning. 5 o'clock on Monday this week is 11 on a Saturday after a brewery tour. I'm a little raspy.
I'm not sure
I feel like I could
today.
Do McConaughey today.
I'm not sure you said it today. But
I'm sure I did. I actually said it to the comment. Like you said, he says right on too much. I was like, right on.
He couldn't control himself.
And the minute it happened, I was like, damn, that sounds stupid. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Send us emails at
stillthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
Check out all the social medias. Let us know which episode is a good representation we do. Thank you for joining us,
sir.
Write
us a review,
too. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Make your friends listen. You got to go and list more thieves.
Yeah.
Set up listening parties at sports bars.
Yeah, do all that stuff. Play Dungeons and Dragons and listen to us ramble on about sour beers. Anyway, thank you guys. We appreciate it. Get at us.